Good morning. So I want you to think about this. What do these have in common? Three furnaces, an air conditioner, three roofs. Is that our neighbor's dog? Cracks in the driveway, water seeping into the basement, broken window, three water heaters, water softener, leaks in the plumbing, oven heating element, which was most recently, and our outside light going out. What do those things have in common? It's our house deteriorating. And those of you that own a home, you know what it's like. So this week, Creation Series 33 plus 7. This is my 40th lesson that I've taught. Wax old. Are you familiar with that? Wax old. Do you have a King James Bible? March 24th, is that the right date? Encouraging the disciples. You hear all the time, millions of years, evolution. You probably hear the word evolution all the time. And it's misused very often. So is this what I'm talking about when I say wax old? I tried to figure out what that was. I think it might be a 280Z, maybe? Something like that? No, that's not. So, am I talking about this? Wax old? Apparently, this is a Victorian wax seal. That would be old. Waxing old. No, here's what I'm talking about. Hebrews 1. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old. That's what I'm talking about, waxing old. There's the Greek word. Do you know Greek? I don't either, and I'm not going to say that same joke. So here's the transliteration of it. How many letters are there in the Greek alphabet? Do you know? 24. And in our alphabet, 26. And it means we'll grow old. So let me ask you a question related to that. What is the average lifespan of Americans? This is your life expectancy at birth. Okay, if you're 75 years old now, your life expectancy is different than what it would be when you're at birth. 65, 69, 73, 75, 79, hike, or 85. What do you say? Vote for one. Remember, the exam is coming up. So take notes. Somebody last week said to me, I think it was Diane, she says, sorry I got here late. I said, make sure to get the notes from your neighbor. She says, but my neighbor doesn't go to church here. Thank you. It's not 65, it's not 73, it's not 69, it's not 75, it's not 85, 79. So you can do the calculations. So I was interested in this. What was the average lifespan of people at the time of David? They didn't do a survey, they didn't do calculations, that kind of stuff that I know of. What do you think, 30 to 40? I'm giving you a range there. 40 to 50, 50 to 60, 60 to 70, 70 to 80. Did you vote? What do you think? I was kind of surprised at this. And I think I've misplaced a slide. Let's see if I can find it. It's not on the next one. Oh, okay. It's coming up. 70 to 80. Is that amazing? And I'll give you the proof in a moment here. Psalm 90, verse 10, days of our lives. And, of course, I go off on rabbit trails whenever I don't know if you do this. So days of our lives, right? If you don't believe me, check that. Have you seen some of those soap operas? Like As the Stomach Turns, The Young and the Worthless, Generic Hospital, The Old That Aren't Beautiful. So now let me go back to Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years, and by reason of strength, they are 80 years. So seven. I think that's a pretty good indication. Wouldn't you agree? 70 to 80 years? If God recorded it in Psalm through David. So, what are the three main topics of Genesis 3? Think about Genesis 3. By the way, the final exam will be open Bible. You can use your Bible. Genealogy. The fall of man. By the way, when you read genealogy, do you just kind of skip through it? And you go, okay, I get it. It's important. God's trying to communicate something to us, but, and every time I do listen to it, I hear a new person in there. I go, yeah, I know who that guy is. The curse of God, the rise of Abram, or the worldwide flood. What do you think? By the way, there are two correct answers here. Not the flood. It's not genealogy. It's the fall of man and the curse of God. In case you haven't noticed it, your home is falling apart. In case you haven't noticed it, you are falling apart. You go, what a negative Sunday school lesson this is going to be. You are one day closer to your death. Woo-hoo. Could I have another? So the population of the world. I was interested in that. Here's one of these rabbit trails I got off on. Both sexes, the average lifespan, 73.4. Females, 76. Males, 70.8. So females live on an average about 5.2 years. It's kind of made up for them standing in line at the restrooms.
How does this equate with our average lifespan of 79 years? This doesn't correlate.
This is the population of the world.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'll get
it. Sorry, we don't. And when I went to that site, they said, sorry, we don't. Other, what? Males, females? Okay, sorry. So here's some of the countries out there. Hong Kong. Why do they have a higher life expectancy? There's the United States in there, 79.74. But you can see, I don't know if you can see on the pink versus blue. Pink is the female. Blue, hard to see up there, it's kind of faint. So I was asking that question, why do females on average live longer than males? A lot of fun. Psalm 102. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. Waxing old. We are waxing old. How many times does wax old appear in the King James Version? What do you think? By the way, some of you might have maybe a little bit revised King James and they've changed the wax old to something else. I included wax not old in these numbers. 14, 5, 67, 10, 38. What do you think? It's not 5. It's not 10. It's not 38. 14 times. And by the way, I have a King James Version on my cell phone. I opened that thing up when we were in Sheboygan. Everybody looks at me because it looks, sounds like I'm playing Space Invaders. They've got a commercial before they open up the Bible. And ding, 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 ding. So I try to turn the volume down before I open up that app if I'm there. So here are the four laws of thermodynamics. Thermodynamics? You know, if I would have entitled this lesson Thermodynamics, half of you would have gone, okay, I can think about something else now. So, this is thermodynamics. It is. The very first time I heard Henry Morris talk about thermodynamics, I go, what does that have to do with evolution? I've studied thermodynamics. It wasn't a primary thing when I was studying chemistry, but we knew about it. Well, I try to simplify this so we can understand it. Bring it down to my level. Thermo means heat. Dynamics means flow. Thermodynamics is the study of heat flow. And thermodynamics traces back to the Babylonian Empire. There are records dating back nearly 2.5 millennium about thermodynamics. They didn't call it thermodynamics, but... And you know the story in Daniel. They heated it up 7 times more than it was supposed to be heated. And they threw 3 guys in there, right? And yet, when they looked in there, they saw 4 guys. So it's difficult to ascertain the exact temperature. One thermo expert says it probably close to 100,000 BTUs. Now, you and I, we go, I don't know what that means. You know what a BTU is? You are right. It's not a Babylonian thermal unit. It is a British thermal unit. To give you some idea, the typical home furnace will be about 60,000 BTU. So here's the artist's rendition of Babylonian HVAC experts. That's not going to last much longer, is it? People are going to go, who is that? So why was Daniel not thrown in the fire furnace with his friends? Did you ever think about that? He was there, or was he? He had died. He moved back to Jerusalem. As ruler, he was away on the king's business. He was attending the Babylon Mart grand opening. And I do have a photo reconstructed of the Or the Bible doesn't say. Have you voted? He had died. No, he had not died. The Bible doesn't say why he wasn't in the furnace. Now, second law of thermodynamics. We get a little scientific-y here. Entropy in a closed system always increases over time. Now, let me just define those things for you. Entropy. Energy, a closed system is one where energy cannot be added or taken away. That's a closed system. All right? And entropy is a measure of disorder. The second law basically says this: entropy increases. Say it another way. It gets worse and worse. It's going downhill. So it's a measure of disorder. It's not easy to measure. I'm going to do a demonstration for you here. I didn't even know how to measure the entropy of it. Here's an example. You get a new pack of cards, right? Over time, what happens to it? Because what? You're eating popcorn, potato chips, and so on, and the grease and oil from your hands and all that kind of stuff. So it gets disordered. There might be a little tear on one part or folded or whatever. So this happens after 1,500 rounds of the card game with the Spencers. And we learned that game. We've taught it to several people. It's kind of fun. Let me ask you this question. Here's your child's room before you ask him or her to clean it. Nice. Did you leave your room like that? Here's your child's room after you ask him or her to clean it. No? Still the same way? Okay. I think this is pretty neat. I'm going to go back because sometimes it works when you load it a second time. That's in our garage right now. Is that a Buick? Because of the scalp wounds? I'm sure that wasn't that way continually for the last 50 years, was it? That thing's been restored. Huh? Pretty nice, huh? Yeah. Now, when creationists point out the second law, and we say, evolution can't happen because things go downhill, what they say is this: it's not a closed system. It's an open system. The earth is, sunlight streams into the earth to the tune of, can drive the entire world for years, right? So sunlight's being added. So they say, just add energy and you can get evolution to work. But the energy does nothing if there's no mechanism to transform or use it. Here's an example. If you drop a plate, it smashes into a bazillion pieces, adding to entropy. But you can't ever push the pieces of a broken plate together to make a nice new plate. Energy always takes us from order to chaos. Always. Isaiah 51:6. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. That's an encouraging thought. All of you are going to die. Here's some good examples of entropy. For the scientist or the Christian who says, in Genesis 3, God implemented the third law, the second law. No. Your body breaks down food so it can be used. The sun is breaking down, providing energy for the earth. By the way, to the tune of 5.5 million tons per second. The estimate is it's going to last several million more years. Plants and animals decay, enriching the soil. Those are good examples of entropy. I'll give you some others later. But I would like to have a volunteer to help me with this demonstration. Okay, Joe, it's you again. And I brought this just for you because you were having so much fun playing with that the other day.
Sure did.
While I get this going here, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
It's that button right there.
Did you have to?
No, that's a... Okay, never mind. It's not working now. Thank you, Doug. So let's get this going really good here. And what we're going to do, we want that going really good so people don't think we're cheating. What we need here is about 26.8 grams of sodium bicarbonate. Those are milliliters. Oh, forget about that. Just use the spork. Spork? I thought it was a phone. How about a couple sporks of that in the beaker? Oh. Yes. These are household chemicals, but it's probably a good idea to put the safety goggles on. What, do you get those at Taco Bell? How about a couple more? All right. And by the way, we're going to use the latest in scientific gear to demonstrate something for you. That's good.
All right.
And we're going to use some white vinegar. That's sodium bicarbonate, NaHCO3. And we need enough to get it bubbling up. Nice.
Tell me when.
That's good. That should be good. All right, I want you to touch the side of the beaker. Both hands. How's it feel?
Cold.
Cold. This is an endothermic reaction. It absorbs heat.
Yeah, I can see the condensation too.
Yeah. Okay, good enough. Now, I did this demonstration with Lori yesterday. She goes, oh, the vinegar was out in the garage. I said, no, it's in the basement. It's an endothermic reaction, quite cold. And it forms carbon dioxide. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to pour the carbon dioxide down the chute.
Whoa.
Is that cool? No, it was hot. So the carbon dioxide was formed in the beaker, and since carbon dioxide has a mass of 44.0 grams, it's heavier than air, and it sinks. And that's what we did, just poured it right down. Thanks.
Yay.
Very good. Kids like it better when they don't work, especially if something explodes in your face. And I've had my share of that. I really have. So here's I'm a chemist. I like chemical equations for the chemical reactions that go on. And I have no idea how to measure entropy in that. If it's a gigantic molecule and it breaks down into its components, that's a little easier to see. Can entropy be decreased through the use of energy? Say it another way, can order be increased through the use of energy? Can you make something better? Since the kids could use a lot of energy to clean up the room, the answer is yes, you could. But can raw energy, energy that is not implemented by somebody that has intelligence? So let's take a look at that room again. Can you just pour raw energy into it and organize that room? Well, let's see. She has this interesting little smile, doesn't she? Here's what's going to happen if you do that, right? It's not going to organize that room. A.E. Wilder Smith said this, only a machine financed by energy can overcome this general entropy increase. It's the only way. Inanimate material in the pond, in an ocean, is not going to form complex molecules. I don't care what they tell you. And there are probably thousands of scientists doing origin of life research to the tune of millions of dollars trying to figure out how life came about. A.E. Wilder Smith, the natural scientists know nothing of evolution. I'm not going to make that political statement. So here he is. You can actually find his videos on YouTube. This gentleman had 3 earned PhDs. I've got that book. If you're interested in reading it, you probably need a little bit of a science background. Physics or chemistry or engineering would help. Could you restore this car? It's got the 3 little scoops on the side. You'd think it's a Chevy. Why has it got those 3 little scoops there? Well, can raw energy restore this car? Just set it out and let sunlight fall on it. No. You're going to need someone to come along. Wow, beautiful. Do you think there was some intelligence involved? You think there was some hard work? You think there were some parts that were ordered? Absolutely. But undirected energy does not solve the problem. You've got to have intelligence. There has to be information, intelligence, or at least a way to harness it. Isaiah 50, verse 9, "Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up." Wax old. "Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies." That's pretty graphic. 1 Corinthians 5:22. "For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now." By the way, scripture and true science agree. "For we know," and here I got off on a little rabbit trail. There's the Greek. And the word means perceive with our eyes. Groans, there's the word for groans, to groan together. Now, occasionally, I try to lighten things up a little bit because people go, oh, eyes start glazing over and the pen stop writing and people go to sleep. So, here's some natural examples of the second law. The sun is burning out 5.5 million tons per second. It's going to be gone one day. Earth's rotation is slowing. It's not gigantic. It's hardly noticeable. The Earth's magnetic field is decreasing. The stars are burning out. Comets have a short lifetime. Animals are becoming extinct. I mentioned this last night, and scientists estimate that 3/4 of all animals that roam the earth have become extinct. And Bob asked me, is that over species, genera, family, order? And I don't know the answer to that. It's an estimate to begin with. We are depleting our resources. The soil is wearing out. By the way, the great savior to the evolutionists are mutations. The only problem is there aren't any good mutations. One scientist was asked, a physicist, how many mutations are beneficial? And he said, to my knowledge, none. 99.9% of all mutations are either neutral or harmful. In theory, each mutation could have a negative, neutral, or positive effect on growth rate. What they found was that all mutations had a negative effect. While a few were dangerous, most had very little negative effect. So ICR, Institute for Creation Research, .org, has summed it up very well. Evolution violates a basic law of science. a universal tendency toward randomness dominates, and the requirements for overcoming its implications are not met by nature. They are met by intelligence of surpassing level, far exceeding ours. There's the reference if you're interested. Anybody have any idea what that is? Or where that is? That is in Normandy. It's very difficult to see in the now picture. I think they put a little work in to get that squared away. Do you agree? Now, on a personal level, here are examples of the second law. Hair loss. Gray hair is a blessing. Ask any bald man. Memory loss. Loss of vision. Loss of hearing. Alzheimer's. Cancer. Diabetes. Multiple sclerosis. Heart disease. Parkinson's disease. And on and on and on and on. What a discouraging, what a terrible lesson. That's so discouraging. Waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters. So again, you know, eyes start glazing over, people go to sleep. I suppose in the classroom now you text each other or something. The redemption of our body. So here's a little break. We're also with Laurie's family discussing. So you get in your car, and all of a sudden the GPS goes out. Where were we going? How do we get there? Laurie and I were driving one time, and the GPS says, "Turn right now." And we looked, and there was a field. So tell me as soon as you know who this is. I used a computer program to do a simulation of aging.
George Washington.
We're actually going back in time. There's somebody in this room. Who? And they even went the other direction a little bit, gave him a little baby fat. And I have a little video that he put together and sent to me. I don't want to go to work because it makes me really sad. And I got to deal with people and I don't want to do that. I am broke even though I work 40 hours a week. It's okay. I'm fine. I tell you, computers are cool. So I'm looking in the mirror, and apparently this picture was 2020. I looked in the mirror and I go, it's never going to get any better than that. It's never going to get any better than that. So I went through the same kind of thing with me, with this program. So this predicts what I'm going to look like in 30 years. See, I can even make fun of myself, can't I?
I'm not great at the advice.
Let's go back and go forward, see if this shows up.
I'm not great at the advice. Can I interest you in a sarcastic comment?
I thought about that after I took the time. I could have just videotaped that. I didn't have to use the program to do that. Here's an award that I received a couple years ago from the New York Times. Clark wins silver in sarcasm. And the whole story is there. I'm not going to bother you with the whole story. And, of course, this was Rio in 2016 that I won that. By the way, that is a real silver medal from the 2016 Rio Olympics. Steele Johnson had a brother named, has a brother named Race. Race played football for Purdue. Steele was on the diving team. Very strong Christian testimony. And he brought that to FCA one night, and I said, and he was passing around, I said, could I wear this and get a picture taken? So that's what happened there. They got a second in synchronized diving. By the way, a new event's coming up this summer, synchronized pole vaulting. That should be interesting. So, more examples of the second law. Animals decompose. Heat flows from hot to cold. Friction occurs between your feet and the ground. You see, if he said God implemented the second law of thermodynamics in Genesis 3, what did Adam and Eve do before that time? Slide all over the place? There's got to be friction between your feet and the ground. Friction is not always bad. Burning anything to produce heat? Digestion? Melting ice? Cooling coffee? Water flows downward? So, I did not realize there was a zeroth law of thermodynamics, but there it is. And you'll notice it's heavy on math. Very heavy on math. Don't despair. Even though I've spent 35 minutes talking about the downward trend of everything, we have a great creator who's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Now, I'm not sure that the deacons will approve of this, but I understand that they're working on a new parsonage for the pastor that would be closer and would allow them to spend more time here. You could just come over here and get the counseling or whatever you need. They do have a little work to do. They think a couple weekends will take care of it. So when you think of disintegration, breakdown, collapse, crumbling, degeneration, decaying, dying, this is something I showed you earlier, but my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Romans 8, 20 through 21. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And with that, you know, I ran out of time last week. I ran out of time last week and skipped a bunch of stuff. I wonder if you'd give me a couple minutes to bring up. Okay. To bring up the 2 or 3 minutes at the end of that, because I thought that was really cool. See, and if you're teaching class last week, you go, well, we'll just pick up there tomorrow, right? If you're teaching a class and you have extra time, you go, okay, you have time to work on your homework. What do you do when people need to get out of here? And it's sometimes very difficult to know exactly what I'm going to say. And and how long it's going to take. So we're going to pick up right here and see what happens. And we were talking about light last week, and this has sound. Even though the world is waxing old and you and I are waxing old, we know that the resurrection is coming.
Thank you, Dan. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this lesson. It reminds us. And grateful, and Lord, motivated to love you and serve you more. Pray you bless the service now. And we pray that, Lord, you will continue to guide and direct in our lives.